Hey guys, this is Kenan Thompson. I have a problem with you. Yes, you. None of y'all told me that Auto Trader has millions of new and used cars that I can shop from home. I thought we were friends. I put smiles on your face, but I'm not smiling. No one told me that with Auto Trader, a dealer can deliver cars to my home or that I could shop by price on Auto Trader. No one. Consider this friendship that you just learned we had officially over. Finally, it's easy. Auto Trader.
Getting to know yourself can be a lifelong process, especially since you're always growing and changing. Therapy is all about deepening that self-awareness, because sometimes you don't know what you really want until you talk things through. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can take you on that journey of self-discovery from wherever you are. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/positive.
We all love Cinderellas, but when was the last time there were three Cinderellas at the ball? That's a little odd. What do you do if you've got three Cinderellas to choose from and only one glass slipper? Couple of dances left. Final Four takes place next Saturday, and this is in Houston. So they have more time off between this weekend's games and then a full week until we get to the national semifinals on Saturday in Houston. The last time the Final Four was in Houston, I was there. And it turned into one of the best games I've ever seen in person. Definitely the best ending I've ever seen in person, with North Carolina and then Villanova hitting the buzzer beater, Chris Jenkins. So that was the last time they were in Houston. Final Four on Saturday and then the national championship game on Monday. And we will be into April. Saturday, April 1st, Monday, April 3rd. But yeah, what do you do if you've got three Cinderellas? Kind of hard to pick an underdog, the underdog, when you have split loyalties among three underdogs. And here's what's funny. The only non-underdog is actually dogs, the Huskies. I mean, I feel like if you're going to be the Huskies, you should be the underdogs. But no, actually, the other you've got three underdogs and then some actual dogs.
We got dogs, Jimmy.
See what I'm saying? Was that like too far to go? Did I have to, was that this, did that joke or whatever that was, that witty observation take too long to get to?
It landed.
We landed the plane.
Smooth.
Also, Jay, where's my soda? Our soda. Where's our soda? I thought you were supposed to have a soda.
I'm supposed to have a
soda. The one time Jay goes to get gas on a Sunday, because he always goes to get gas on a Sunday, that he doesn't go inside and get, I mean, the gas station convenience store worker, convenience store clerk must have wondered what happened that you did not come inside to say hello to him.
Probably thought I was sick or something. I was telling him to pull up and then not go in.
No, what? Why? Are you broke? Is that what happened? You're broke?
Well,
you have no money?
No, I mean, it's always the case, but.
You work in radio. Don't say I didn't warn you.
But no, I don't know. I just came back, went in, quick in and out. But now I really want some snacks and a soda.
Well, so. I have snacks, and we have a box full of candy on top of the locker.
That also led into my decision. I was like, well, we do have a bunch of goods.
But you said you were going to get a soda.
I did, and I want it.
Well, too late for that, because the convenience store is not readily accessible. Also, Jay couldn't get into the building for a good 15 minutes tonight. We'll have to explain what's going on downstairs, that we have to use a loading dock, and Jay didn't know where he was going, and which is, I mean, thank goodness he told me, because I wouldn't have known either. So thank you for that. But Jay walked around an entire city block in New York City. First of all, it was essentially midnight Eastern time, and that's scary. There's some scary peeps out walking around. And so I'm very relieved that you're safe, but also I would have been petrified. I would have had my mace out, not just in my hand, in my bag, but out and pointed just in case.
So I did actually pass a couple people, and there was in the back of our building, they're doing scaffolding work or something in there.
Did you hear catcalls?
No, I didn't, luckily. But But there was like, you know, it's a tight, narrow walkway to get through. And I had to pass like two different groups of people. And
oh,
I was like,
were you nervous?
This is it. I'm getting jumped. This is it. This is it.
But, yeah, you definitely look like you're carrying a ton of cash on you. You got cash and bling.
I got my Yeti cooler, Yeti water bottle.
Right, but you've got, that actually, you could hit someone in the head with that and it would leave
good,
a dent.
Good point.
So don't, that can be a weapon. But your phone is, I don't know, about 17 years old. It's like the first cell phone you ever got. So no one's stealing that. No one wants your Rangers hat. So I wouldn't worry about that either. No, it's old school Rangers. It's not even like a new school hat.
That's what makes it cool.
Yes, that's what I meant to say. Absolutely.
That's what I tell myself.
That is accurate. So Jay didn't get jumped, and then he warned me, so I didn't walk around the entire building because I'm notorious for going to the wrong side of an arena, and like when I'm trying to find the media entrance, this is my first time there, and having to walk all the way around. Like, it happens to me every single time. The number of arenas that I have circumvented, yep, that's the thing.
We just need more signs. Like, everything could be so simple. If they just had a sign out front saying, hey, building's under construction, go to the side.
Yeah, they probably don't want a lot of people just wandering into the loading dock.
I mean, yeah, I guess that's a good point. But I will say, though, in walking around the building, the place where we did actually have to go in would have been the last place where I actually would have went in not without knowing. It was
next to the bicycle rack. That's
not exactly
that's how you find it, next to the bicycle rack.
Wasn't it?
And the funny thing is, you had a security guard who was out waving for you.
Yeah.
Now, I'm walking down the street eyeing some sketch people on the other side, and I don't see any security guard. So it's as I'm walking past, he's sitting like way back in his little booth and like waving from inside. So if I hadn't turned and looked in the door, I never would have seen him. I could still be outside wandering. How long would I have to be outside wandering before you would sound the alarm and come get me or look for me or worry? Like, how long would it have been?
There'd be a time. I'd
like
say.
How long? I'm asking. Let's go. How long until you would declare me missing or under duress?
Maybe like 8 to 12 minutes.
Wow. I mean, I could get lost and not be here in 8 to 12 minutes.
Because it took me about that to, like, do a couple laps, figure out what was going on.
A but couple after, laps? You went around the building twice?
I did, like, a little 1.25.
Oh, my gosh.
Because I'm saying that one entrance where it actually was, like, I didn't want to go in there. I was like,
you've been
this?
Out there much longer, you would have gotten hypothermia or something.
I was close.
I'm just kidding. No, it's actually, temps are in the 50s, so it's,
I was shivering.
It's pretty nice. You were not. Stop it. Don't need to play this up and now get the sympathy vote or something like that.
It's cold out there.
That doesn't excuse the fact that there's no soda, okay?
You caught me.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So, as I say, when there are three Cinderellas, it's kind of hard to pick one. We all love a good underdog story, but I feel as though we're going to have split loyalties here. And that is because when it comes to the one seeds, simply nothing, and I mean nothing, went according to plan.
6:40 to play here in the second half. Quinterly, little hesitation, little shake and bake, spinning move, and Menza swats it away. It is rejected for the fifth time. Quinterly in the paint, has it blocked away again by Johnson. Saved by San Diego State. 3 seconds to play, lets it fly. No good. Rebound taken down by Parsons. That'll do it for the first time in NCAA history. Not only are the San Diego State Aztecs going to the Elite Eight, but the Mountain West will be represented in the Elite Eight. They knock off the number one overall seed, the Alabama Crimson Tide, 71-64.
Feeds over to Walker. Anthony Walker with 8 to shoot. Step back three for Walker, and he hits 3 made threes all year. Miller off the inbound, swings the pass around. Poplar, left corner. 3 is good. Wooga Poplar was 0-for-4 before that 3, and an 11-0 Miami run, and the Hurricanes blowing up Houston's plans, 70-53, Miami by 17.
As lopsided as the second half of UConn-Gonzaga, that's how lopsided Miami against Houston once the Canes got rolling. And there is a theme here, right? Miami, a second half team, and against the Houston Cougars, which is one of the best defensive teams in the country, the Canes found that groove. They were aggressive. They were attacking. Again, keep in mind, these are some veteran players. They're not all players that have come up through Miami with Jim Larrañaga, but they are veterans. They've got a bunch of transfers on that team that brought in experience from other places. Those Canes shot 52% from the floor against Houston, which is supposed to be one of the best defenses in the country. And it is, just not this weekend. The call's there with Tom McCarthy and Kevin Kugler on the Westwood One NCAA radio network. For Kelvin Sampson and the Cougars, they were one of the top teams in the entire country most of the season. But man, what a, I mean, I'll just say it, what a rotten egg against Miami.
Obviously, they were the better team tonight. I'm proud of my team for a lot of things. Unfortunately, you know, it's one off night. You go home and at this in this tournament. You know, we just never could get a foothold. You know, we kept climbing and we get ahead of them, and then we just couldn't put stops together. But you know, we've hung our hats all year on unscripted points. Tonight was just, we just couldn't get anything going.
You can hear the dejection in the voice of Kelvin Sampson. A real good team. They fought through a lot of injuries, including one to Marcus Sasser, to even get to this point. But it ended abruptly against a much hotter Miami team.
It was an amazing run. Came up short, but, you know, the time that we got to spend, you know, throughout these months, it was, you know, I couldn't ask for nothing better. And then just coming back to this program, coaching staff, you know, it was just amazing. You know, I'd pick that choice 10 out of 10 every time. So it was a great run for sure.
So the Houston Cougars do not make it to the Elite Eight. Alabama, also a one seed that falls short of even getting to the final eight teams. Stunning that for the first time since they started seeding this tournament, none of the top seeds in any of the regions even make it to the Elite Eight. It's been a roller coaster ride of a season for Nate Oates and Alabama. If you consider what that coach has dealt with, and he hasn't always handled it with grace or with class. He's had some major flubs, but I believe that the challenge of trying to lead through a murder investigation that takes one of your players and then involves your star player in a way that for weeks it became less about basketball and more about this player and whether or not he should even be on the roster. When it becomes a national story, again, not for what you're doing on the court, but because you're defending the way that you have navigated an uncertain and very difficult, very emotional situation. For them to become a one seed, for the Crimson Tide to keep going, I think is a credit to Nate Oates. Again, I'm not saying he handled everything correctly. He did not. He had some major flubs. But I dare say many human beings, even the best of leaders, would find themselves on shaky footing and shaky ground trying to navigate a situation like this, where one of your former players is accused of capital murder and the other one is identified in court as the guy who drove the gun to the scene. So for Nate Oates and for Alabama, it ends in the Sweet 16. And I will say this, they did well to focus on basketball, as much as that's not what Alabama has been about. Well, what's the narrative around Alabama has been about for the last month or so?
We had an unbelievable year. Everybody's really disappointed in the loss. You know, it ended too soon. San Diego State's a very good team. When you get to the Sweet 16, you know, all the teams are good at this point. You know, they're tough, physical, veteran group. It's a huge accomplishment to get to the Sweet 16.
I think it was a pretty successful season. Made it to Sweet 16. It's probably one of the biggest tournaments I've ever played in my life. I think we really just came to have fun, really, and just compete at a high level.
That is the voice of Brandon Miller. Of course, the star freshman who was also involved in the mess in Tuscaloosa, in which a young woman lost her life. Be interesting to see what happens moving forward. Miller was projected to be one of the top prospects for the NBA. Will they ask hard questions? Will they hold him to a different standard? Will they put his feet to the fire? I think for Nate Oates, it's been a season of learning, probably an uncomfortable season in many ways, a season in which he was in the spotlight for sticking his foot in his mouth and coming across tone deaf and maybe even insensitive at times. Yet I dare say that as much as that, and I'm not overlooking what happened and a young woman lost her life. That matters far more. But in context of coaching, I dare say these are lessons he will not forget. Right? He's going to be a different man, a different coach moving forward. Like it or not, this season had to leave a scar. Again, not comparing this to the young woman, her family. She had a daughter. The two things are not comparable. I'm just referring specifically to basketball and to Nate Oates and his growth, whether he wanted to or not, his growth and his development as a leader and a coach. And I hope that these tough lessons stick with him. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I love this tweet. You stuck the dog landing. Yes. Also, get this, Producer Jay. This could be fake. Okay, I'll just readily admit I could be getting duped. Troy sends a tweet with a photo. He's sitting poolside, and he says, I'm listening Monday afternoon in Vietnam. Okay, this could be a pool in Florida. Let's be fair. He could have just said that he was listening poolside in Vietnam, and this could be an old photo. Because I'm not one of those NCIS people or crime scene investigators who can triangulate the photo and where it came from and all that stuff. So I'm not going to do that. However, if you are actually listening in Vietnam, Troy, we're happy to keep you company. And thank you for taking us with you on, I don't know if it's a vacation or you live there. I've not ever heard from this guy before, I don't think. But wow. We definitely have listeners internationally. We've heard from places as far away as Tokyo, as far away as Australia. We definitely hear from a lot, and sometimes it's not until they get back, but we hear from a lot of American men, servicemen and women who are stationed overseas. So we definitely get listeners. We have listeners across the pond regularly in Great Britain and the British Isles, which is awesome. So there are expats all over the world, but this is a new one. Vietnam, that's a new one.
That's pretty cool. I believe him.
That is pretty cool. I like it. All right, what haven't we gotten to? Creighton, San Diego State. We'll do that next. Man, we've talked about the Houston shooting woes against Miami. We've mentioned Gonzaga, that second half against Connecticut. It was hurting me to watch Creighton shoot in the second half of that game against San Diego State on Sunday. But still, it went down to the wire. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
What's up, everybody? Nick Costos here. College basketball is about to get crazy, and BetQL makes it easier than ever to cash your bets. BetQL analyzes every single tournament matchup so you can succeed with your bracket pools and individual game bets. Which teams will pull off an upset? Who's going to cover the spread? BetQL handles all the hard work so you can win more consistently. Head to BetQL.com today to start your 3-day free trial. That's BetQL.com. BetQL.com today to start your 3-day free trial.
Planning a wedding can be intimidating, but finding the perfect suit shouldn't be. Indochino makes it easy to get a custom suit right from home. Fine-tune every detail and design a suit tailored perfectly to your body and your personality, starting at just $499. Get a wedding suit as unique as you with Indochino. Go to Indochino.com and use code PODCAST to get 10% off any purchase of $399 or more. That's Indochino.com, promo code PODCAST.
Podcast.
Marabello to the right baseline, under the basket, kicks it out for Shireman for three. Way downtown, it's good. Splash City, 22-16, great. 8:40 to play, first half. That's his first bucket from beyond the arc. The inbounds goes to Seiko as San Diego State gets the ball back. A rope, dribbles a few times, hands it off to Trammell. Trammell curls off the high screen, throws up a one-hander, it's good. And it's now a tie game at 28. It's an 8-0 run. Bounce pass backdoor for Shireman, off the glass, no good. Johnson with the rebound, it's going to be 4-on-4 for a minute. Here comes Trammell up the floor. Trammell to the free throw line, assessing, pull up one-hander, it's good. San Diego State up by 146-45. Trammell from the high post, right side.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Tom McCarthy on the NCAA Westwood One. I think I got that backwards. Tom McCarthy on the Westwood One. They're very specific about how we have to say this. Even though Westwood One is our broadcast partner. Oh, no, we have to. Under penalty of death. Under penalty of, like, criminal charges. We have to say it the right way. Jay's nodding because he knows.
Like, for real, yeah.
We got emails about this. Every year we get emails. So let me start again. Take two. Tom McCarthy on the Westwood One NCAA radio network. Boom.
I think we're good.
I'm offended. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I don't care if you say it wrong. I have friends who call this the Amy Lawrence Show. I'm like, what the? What the? No.
I'm offended.
I would never name my show after me. My apologies to all of those radio hosts out there who name their shows after themselves. That's it. I feel as though I'm a little bit more creative. So, no. The Amy Lawrence Show, just it's like awkward and not interesting. Whatever. Jay, would you call your show the Producer Jay Show?
No, I wouldn't. I don't. Although, actually, it's not so bad, but no.
You can do better.
I could do better.
You could do better. That's all I will say. Just as a friendly, like, hey, I've been in this business a really long time. You can do better than the Producer Jay Show.
Not great.
No, not great. Not creative at all. It's lazy. I'll just say it. It's lazy.
Yes. Full of lazy.
All right. So we got Tom McCarthy and his initial comments, his initial play-by-play to let you know that Creighton was up early, but in the second half could not hit the broad side of the barn. Oh my gosh. Watching Creighton shoot the basketball hurt me. It was bricklaying. It wasn't beautiful basketball, which is fine if you're also causing your opponent to look miserable as well. But the Aztecs were able to come back. And so tied at 56, oh man, there is a moment that a lot of people will still be chattering about on Monday.
Butler looking for somebody to get open. Butler, no timeouts left. Gets it into a rope. 5 seconds left. Trammell, 3 seconds left. Trammell way away from the basket. Pulls up for the free throw line. Shot is no good. Whistle blows, though. There's a foul, possibly. No time left on the clock. Lee Cassell blew the whistle, and we may have free throws. Greg McDermott just reminded his team there are no timeouts left. Trammell's second shot for the lead and possibly a trip to Houston. Right-handed shot up and good. Nothing but net. 57-56 San Diego State.
Oh, it's another one of those moments where it's letter of the law. Maybe not spirit of the law, but it's letter of the law. Butler was passed the ball off to Trammell, who's a senior guard. Okay, so a veteran guard. He drives into the lane. He puts the shot up. The ball is already up and away as Nembhard has got his, I think it's left arm, left hand, left arm. I'll have to go back and look at the perspective. But he's got essentially an arm into the side of Trammell. Did it affect the shot? Didn't look like it. Only because Trammell had already gone up into his shooting motion and had released the ball. At the same time, there is a chance that Nembhard's arm into Trammell's side changed his trajectory, right? Changed the angle of the basketball. It certainly knocked him over. And so there was enough there, contact, whether before the shot or after the shot, that did not allow Tramiel to come down and land safely. So there was enough contact there. But again, it may have been after the shot was released. You can go and you can check it out yourself. It's on social. He didn't hit his arm. He didn't hit the ball. Oh, here, I just saw it again, actually. I was looking up at CBS Sports Network. He's got his left hand, so he's kind of off the right hip. And by him, I mean Nembhard, the Creighton player. He's off the right hip of Tramiel. So Tramiel has gotten by him. He's gotten a step by him. Now Nembhard is grabbing. So he's kind of off the right hip. They're both facing the hoop. He takes his left hand and kind of grabs Tramiel's waist. But it's after Tramiel is already in the air. It's after the shot is already away. It's just Tramiel did lose his balance. So there's clearly contact there. A lot of people that I respect right away. Awful call, terrible call, la la la. Can I tell you the truth? I actually thought it was the right call. Because again, it did feel like he knocked Tramiel off balance and that could have changed the trajectory of the shot. There's no way to know if the shot goes down, if he doesn't. Charles Barkley hated the call. I get it. I understand. It's a tough call to make in that moment. But I am always of the opinion that if you would make that call anywhere else, then you should make it there. Now, here's the question. Because if you watch this game, you know that it was relatively physical. They were allowing the teams to play. And to underscore that point, there were only 17 free throws total in this game. There weren't a lot of fouls called. There were only 22 fouls called. And those obviously are not all shooting fouls. So they were letting these guys play. So I think Jay Wright's point on the desk after TBS, CBS, whichever, that Jay Wright, the longtime coach of Villanova, his point is that you didn't call it all game long. Why are you calling it there? But the counter to that is everyone can see it. Everyone can see the fact that Nembhard has got a hold of his waist and is grabbing him there. How do you not call it? This is why I only reffed at the high school and youth level, because I would never want to be in that situation. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So we see Tramiel step up to the line and make the second free throw. Misses the first, but makes the second, which means that the Aztecs are up by one. There's still more drama to come.
Shireman on the baseline to our right. He's a left-handed thrower. Sets up. Looking like a quarterback. 1.2 to play. Throws it up for grabs. Kaluma has it tipped out of bounds. No time left. San Diego State celebrating for a moment, but Lee Cassell says, hold on a second. Hold on. We're going to look to see when the ball goes out of bounds, if there's any time left, and who touched it last. And the celebration for San Diego State on the right side lets everybody know that they are not even going to continue this ball game. It is over. The San Diego State Aztecs, for the first time in program history, will head to the Final Four. They will take on FAU in Houston. And they let everybody know that defense does travel. A huge free throw from Darion Tramiel in the waning seconds of this game has given San Diego State a one-point win, 57-56, and they will go on to the Final Four, and their fans are celebrating.
Congratulations to Brian Dutcher, who actually was the longtime assistant to Steve Fisher, who was there at San Diego State, for those of you who know your college basketball history. This was an ending that really marred, and I only say that because it took forever. I'm not saying that San Diego State didn't deserve it or it wasn't legit. Again, the call was a judgment. The referee made it. Tramiel hit one free throw, and there were 1.2 seconds left on the clock. So then Creighton lines up baseline, right? So after a made free throw, you have to inbound the ball baseline. And actually, if you look at the video, his toe is so close to being over the line. That could have been another issue. But he chucks the ball down court. I'm trying to think of someone who doesn't have a cannon for an arm. It wasn't a wounded duck like a late Peyton Manning career throw. No, it wasn't quite that bad. It was short, shorter than what he wanted it to be. And as the ball is coming down at the other end of the court, two guys go up for it. Two guys, one from each team, who, as it appears, knock it out of bounds at the same, like they both have a hand on it, simultaneously have their hands on the ball and knock it out of bounds. Ultimately, though, what the referees were reviewing is not, now they would have had to figure out who touched it last, but the first question they had to answer on review is, did the clock start? And that's hard, right? Because there's 1.2 seconds left. Theoretically, you can, in a tip drill, so to speak. So, you know, in the NBA, they say you have to have 0.3 seconds left on the clock to even bother inbounding, because you cannot get a shot off with less than 0.3 seconds, even if you tip it. The fact that the ball has to hit your hand, and then whatever motion you might use to tip it up in the air, that takes longer than 0.3 seconds. So scientifically, they say you can't, there's no way you can inbound and get a shot up in under 0.3 seconds. So the whole idea here is, did the clock start because these guys touched it? Should it have started? How much time ran off the clock? And did it take longer than 1.2 seconds? And it's hard because not only did the ball have to touch, so the ball theoretically hitting someone's hand is when the clock starts, okay? But how much time did it then take from the time that it bounced off their fingertips simultaneously to get out of bounds until it lands again? Because the clock rolls until the ball lands again. So what they determined is that it was 1.2 seconds. It was more than that. There was no time left on the clock, so it didn't matter who had possession, because the time it took from the point at which it made contact with a fingertip, multiple fingertips, multiple hands, both teams, to the time that it traveled out of bounds and hit the court. Because when the ball's in the air, the clock is rolling. It wouldn't stop until the ball would hit the ground. So the referees first determined, yes, the time had expired. I mean, it took a while, but the time had expired. That motion of the ball hitting their hands and then flying out of bounds took the rest of the time off the clock. So they didn't even really need to determine who had possession because there was no time left regardless. But still, it took forever. And I can imagine if you're Creighton and you're Greg McDermott, that it's frustrating because you never really had a chance because of the way that played out.
You win with class and you lose with class, and that's what we're going to do. We had opportunities. Defensively, obviously, we held them to 37%, which is good enough. We just, you know, we had some decent looks at the basket the second half and were unable to knock them down. All the credit goes to San Diego State, and it's on us that we didn't quite get it done, not anyone else.
Congratulations to Coach McDermott and Creighton. They got a really good team, and we were separated by 1 point tonight. And if there was time on the clock, who knows what could have happened. But we're grateful to be advancing. It's always hard when you go against a friend because as much as I celebrate winning, if you don't feel empathy for a friend, you're not a true friend. And so I'm grateful to win, but I felt bad for Greg and his team because they're a Final Four team also. But with a one-and-done situation, the volatility of this tournament, we were fortunate enough to go, and I feel bad for a really good Creighton team.
Very classy by both Greg McDermott and Brian Dutcher of San Diego State, who is in his sixth year with the Aztecs, and they make their first ever Final Four. So a couple of things. It was really ugly. The offense was hard to come by for both teams in the second half, both teams. The Blue Jays only had 23 points in the second half and only shot 2 of 17 from beyond the arc. So Creighton's offense just in the second half. It's a credit to San Diego State and the defense, but the Blue Jays were still in it because they were doing the same, fighting, scratching, clawing. And Coach McDermott makes a great point. The Blue Jays defense held the Aztecs to only 38% shooting. I mean, it was bad for both teams offensively. So you have, that's why that foul with the one free throw feels like such a big deal, because the game was tied at that point. But is it why they lost? No, absolutely not. Though tough for Ryan Nemhard, because he's the one who got the foul called on him in those late stages.
It's a tough feeling. He worked so hard all year, and it comes down to a play like that.
Planning a wedding can be intimidating, but finding the perfect suit shouldn't be. Indochino makes it easy to get a custom suit right from home. Fine-tune every detail and design a suit tailored perfectly to your body and your personality, starting at just $499. Get a wedding suit as unique as you with Indochino. Go to Indochino.com and use code PODCAST to get 10% off any purchase of $399 or more. That's Indochino.com, promo code PODCAST.
I don't know. I think we could have done a little bit more to make it a game that didn't have to go down to that, but it's a tough way to lose.
Darion Trammell obviously has a different perspective, right? Because he was the one who took the shot up, felt the contact, and then had to head to the free throw line with the game hanging in the balance.
I feel like I still had a good look. The refs made their call. But, I mean, they called it, and I got an opportunity to knock down free throws to win the team, win the game for my team. Just having the utmost confidence in myself. I feel like I've shot probably 1,000 free throws in the last week. So at the end of the day, I feel like I put in the work to be able to step up and have the confidence that I was going to make them.
Or one, make one. That's what they needed to break the tie, was the one. So here we go. San Diego State, Miami, and Florida Atlantic. We'll get to the Owls coming up soon. My new favorite hashtag. It's going to be my favorite hashtag. I love the owl emoji. No, I'm sorry. Did I say hashtag? I love the owl emoji. It's super cute. And over the weekend, people were sending me photos of owls that they found in their yards or whatever else. They're like able to snap photos of owls that they've seen in their trees. So it's pretty cool. So we've got Owls, we've got Aztecs, we've got Hurricanes, and we've got Huskies. We've got three underdogs and actual dogs, which I find amusing. I mean, UConn is the blue blood here. The Huskies have won 5 national titles in their past, and that's just men's basketball. Forget women's basketball, which is the most accomplished and successful college basketball program of all time. So it's a different flavor, right? Who do you root for? Wait, is that producer Jay telling us who he's rooting for? Who do you root for when it's all underdogs? It's all Cinderellas except for UConn. Also, my apologies to our friends to the north, because as Gary points out, I did not mention Canada. It's because I don't actually think of Canada as international. I just kind of think of us all as North America. We've had Canadian affiliates since we've been on the air 10 years ago. But I did forget to mention Canada. He's listening from Calgary, so thank you for that. All right, on Twitter, A-Law Radio. On our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. First time that no top seed survived to the Elite Eight. And the first time we've ever had 3 schools make it to the Final Four for the first time in their history all at the same time. It's pretty incredible. Now, straight ahead, LeBron is back, and Kyrie's complaining. Oh, hey, what else is new?
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Just happened to get in the game rhythm. You know, you can see him getting his rhythm, his timing, his finishes. All of that. He's going to be all right. We're going to be all right. But again, it was great to see him back out there.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
LeBron is back quicker than what most NBA insiders and analysts and experts were expecting. He made his return after 13 games on Sunday night. Now, the Lakers end up losing to the Chicago Bulls. However, LeBron appears to be primed and ready. He's going to have to shake off some rust. He's probably going to have to continue to get treatment. but he appears to be back in the game for the rest of the regular season, just to, gosh, a couple of weeks now, and on into the playoffs should the Lakers make it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. The injury itself hadn't been disclosed until this point, but LeBron was ready to answer questions on Sunday about exactly what he had done to himself 4 weeks ago.
I tore a tendon in my foot.
And that's normally longer than a four-week recovery process.
It is.
When did you get a sense of you would have a plan to get you back faster than what the normal kind of routine is on that?
When the doctors told me I was healing faster than anybody I've seen before with the injury.
Oh.
Day to day, obviously. The most important for me is Monday morning. When I wake up tomorrow, I step out of the bed and see what happens, you know, with that. But I felt confident in the workouts that I had this week. And the day after the workouts, when I woke up and I, you know, stepped down off the bed, that I could possibly play today. And after my workout earlier before the game, I knew I could play today just from the long week that I had. But we'll see what happens.
LeBron with 19 points against the Bulls, along with 8 rebounds, 3 assists. He didn't play his normal slate of minutes. However, they're going to try to work him into this routine now, because they've got to make sure that A, he doesn't get injured again as much as possible, but just also he's been out of basketball shape, right? So you can be in shape but not be in basketball shape, and so it requires a different bit of cardio.
Felt okay. Obviously, you know, the rhythm is the most important. You know, I had a couple, you know, drives and the ball got away from me. A couple shots didn't feel as good as before, obviously. But, you know, I was out for 4 weeks. So between that and the wind, just got to get those things back leading to the final stretch of the season.
And so LeBron is back, even as the Lakers are now at number 9 in the Western Conference standings. But get this, the Warriors are sitting in the 6th spot, and they're only 2 games back of Golden State. So whether you're winning a couple of games in a row or you're losing, like the Mavericks that we'll get to after the top, you can catapult up a few spots, or you can plummet a couple of spots in just, 2 games. The thing about LeBron that I thought was so interesting, if you do the reading and kind of, because the torn tendon in his foot, you would think would require surgery. Apparently, there were 2 doctors that recommended LeBron have foot surgery, but there was a doctor. Now, he would not share this doctor's name. I hope that's not because he's not a real doctor. He just plays a doctor on TV. I'm sure that's not the case. The best money could buy, LeBron called him the LeBron James of feet, meaning, I mean, LeBron thinks he's the best player in the world, thinks he's, you know, the best to ever play the game, yada, yada. So he called this doctor, who he did not name, the LeBron James of feet. That doctor told him not to get surgery, actually assured him, this is according to LeBron, that if he would just do the rehab and follow the program that this LeBron James of feet doctor told him to, that he'd get back on the court. Look what happened. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.